My little piece to add to what we have received, it is restricted to the Moses technology. I'm part of the mountain people. And we interpret spiritual codes, set coordinates. We receive templates. I want to take you up the mountain. I'm not a good source man on ground, but I interface with the immortal realm. Matthew chapter 18. Hallelujah. We can do some damage from the mountaintop. Meanwhile, we have picked the prayer point. We need to pray, and we will pray in this meeting, that meanwhile, God cannot be so stranded as not to have a joker where it matters in order to defend his heritage. And so what we need to pray about is that the influence of what is happening in the mountain will affect that joker. I don't know what force, what influence moved Joseph of Arimathea. I don't know at what point, what threshold he was able to overcome the intimidation that kept him under the cover of darkness. We are going to ask God to do something that will break the silence in the name of Jesus. But I want to take you to cloud 9 for mountain technology. For instance, when you study your Bible, you see things like, though your beginning be small, your later end will greatly increase. It's a permutation, actually. And the permutation is a spiritual calculation that as insufficient as we are as men, as mortals, when we come into partnership with divinity, even though we start small because of the potential that we're interfacing with, eventually the outcome, the output, the manifestation, our destiny is such that we cannot tie down to where we began from. There is a touch of immortality on the landscape that affects the outcome much more than we can strategize or imagine. Hallelujah. The immortal realm is where all the insufficiencies of humanity are swallowed up, and the excellency of the workings of God's masterpiece are manifested in the brightest colors. The assignment of Moses on the mountain is a critical one. And I want to believe from pastor's message, we have to do the Moses dimension and also do the Joshua dimension. We do a lot of Joshua dimension in the office. If not, you'll not even have the fuel you have now. Yes, I assure you. I personally have avoided bribes for 6 years now. 6 years that I've been out of this place, I have not received a penny of bribe. That penny of bribe, in fact, the day I would have hit it big was in the night. 2 years ago in the night. And the guys, I don't know, they were a little bit not human with all kinds of beasts, like smugglers. And the vessel we went to walk upon was a vessel that had a shipwreck. They revived it. How that vessel was listed on that the Nigerian flag by Nimasa overnight is still a mystery. How they revived the engine and carried that cargo, and it happened to be that we were the ones to do that job. If I wanted to hit it big, that was the opportunity. Hallelujah. It was at the in the face of death, the threat of death, that we did what we did. And the Lord's name was glorified. And so we do that. It's just that maybe our sphere of influence is not large enough for it to have a widespread effect, as it were. But if we all can stand for the kingdom in our own little quarters, cumulatively, we'll see the salvation of the Lord break forth. And so we need to educate us on the Moses technology and also on so you will help push that other aspect. May I let's do that. And so we'll still push it tomorrow, but my own area of specialty is up there. When you take something and you put here and put there and put someone here, and then somebody cannot sleep in the night, it means Moses is walking. Hallelujah. In the book of Matthew chapter 18, now, you see, we need an atmosphere to do this Moses thing. Oh, my God. You are not... Yeah. All right. Because we need to invoke some things. Invoke some things. Invoke this night. Invoke the heavens. I will tell you when to increase it. But let it just be flowing as if it's a river. Hallelujah. Now, in the book of Matthew chapter 18, Jesus enters into the mystical context. And he begins to give perspective to mystical secrets. He begins to unveil the protocol that is required to tap into immortal material. He begins to unveil to us the principles, the practice of doing business with the invincible realm and capturing the tangibility and the potency of the reality sustained therein. There were three lectures Jesus gave. And the lectures he gave was actually a digression from the context. Thank God for that digression. That digression holds the window that we will be accessing tonight to glean from secrets that he unveiled. Hallelujah. Now, we'll need a lexicon at some point in the study so that you understand several words within the context that they are found. Hallelujah. Because these are scriptures that are easily misinterpreted. Matthew chapter 18. Verse 18. On the mountain, while we seek to unveil the power of Moses' technology, there are five procedures that we need to know how to undertake in keeping with the demand of the Moses dimension. The first one is called the transaction. Every wise priest must know how to carry out a transaction. Now, the problem with us as a people in a region of contention is that we are reactive to the impact and the influence of transactions that have been set in motion in the kingdom of darkness. We have been doing this reactive and first aid kind of approach. But today, if we really understand what a transaction is, you can now be the one setting the coordinates for an activity that darkness will have to react about. You will be the one to set in motion and to trigger an event on the account of the spiritual understanding and the depth of the knowledge of God that you have acquired. Jesus himself is the one teaching us in Matthew chapter 18. Verse 18. Hallelujah. For a long time, I have asked God, why will you still keep me on the job, government job? My people are in crisis. But he doesn't seem to want to answer me. So I now decided to set a time to retire. Maybe I would threaten him. But from your sermon today, I'm confused. Joseph must be there. Joshua must be there. Well, I think I'll gather some more tools and go back to court. But the Moses way, this is the one I know. Moses. Verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again, I say unto you, this is another principle. The first one is what we call transaction. Then again, meanwhile, these things are actually digressions from the original subject. Whatever made Jesus digress that day was a good thing. Gave us insight. Gave us revelation. Gave us access. And again, I say unto you that if two of you, see, in this one, you require a quorum, shall agree on earth as touching anything they ask, it shall be done for them by my Father which is in heaven. This is called agreement. First one is what? Transaction. Second one is what? Agreement. Then in giving us perspective, in the second one that he mentioned, he is now telling us the mechanism and the principle that is exploited that gives authenticity to the practice he's recommending. See, for where, because where two or three. Now, so two or three, there is the requirement to fulfill the quorum of witness. So he has now shown us what exactly is at work. What exactly is at work here is witness. So it's on the mountain that you will realize the power of witness. And there are several things that will not happen except there's sufficient witness in the earth, mirroring and aligning with the intent of heaven. Then when the quorum meets the number stipulated by God, we can actually bring the Holy Ghost, the great Holy Ghost, out of heaven and bring him to earth, just like it happened on the day of Pentecost. We can bring all of God down. He said, for where two or three are gathered. He didn't say assemble. They are gathered in my name, there will I be in the midst of them. So this is agreement. I said they are fine. So let's start with transactions. Now, I will want us to understand that where we are going is predicated on some basic spiritual principles which we are supposed to have. I began yesterday, but we did not have sufficient time to, and we don't have time today again. We did not have sufficient time to tie it up. And so if we go into these applications without a full understanding of the realm, we will have problems. Well, check your notes again yesterday. The spiritual realm, what is the first character of the spiritual realm? That's why in your Bible, you will find things like commandments, statutes, laws, because God wants us to be acquainted with the shape of the immortal realm. It's legalistic, it's legislative. You can actually engage God in order for him to proclaim a royal decree that will change the balance of governance, the approach of things. Satan knew that it took utterances from God for him to create. And even though, based on the rebellion of Adam, the old creation was now obsolete with respect to the purpose of God, Satan knew that there was something he could not control. And that which Satan cannot control is that God has the ability to speak again. If he spoke before and his speakings created, he can do what? That's why one of the prime purposes of the Ecclesia, just like I said yesterday, is not fellowship. It is government. And we secure government by coming to court and bringing strong reasons to provoke God to speak again. When that legislation goes out, it empowers us upon the face of the earth to now enforce according to the provisions that God has made available within the strength of the legislation that he has uttered. So we are that facility and infrastructure that is expected to go into the courts of heaven and to secure legislation, to secure policy statements, to secure decrees from God that will give us provisions and flexibility in enforcement that will discomfit the enemy. The reason why these things are so is because the realm itself is what? Is legislative. And it is legalistic. That means we will lose 1,000 times if we do not have a legislation that counteracts a position that strengthens the devil. The devil is operating from a particular position secured by covenant and entreaties with men. And that position gives him advantage because he now has the judicial right to function in this frame of reference on the strength of covenanting with men that have a cluster of authority and empowering Satan to rule within the scope and the circumference of the authority that the people have. And so the devil does legislative business. But in order for us to counteract a legislative issue, we need a legislation. Are you with me? Fulani people cannot just wake up one day and begin to invade. There were legislations that took place in the spirit realm, and there were loose ends within our territory. They gave some people money and then had legal right on the strength of law of contract to take possession of certain places. On the strength of these two facilities, they have some form of backing and some form of rightness They have some form of justice, some form of they are in equity, so to speak. Hallelujah. Meanwhile, we cannot deny the people that they interacted with. Most times when these people come in, we have been told that it's people from the land that receive bribes that show them the easy routes to take. They are not invincible trackers. They cannot bring this kind of damage except some loose ends are available for them to exploit. And so in their own right, and from the order of priesthood that they implement, they have a basis of, they have jurisdiction. That's what I'm trying to say. And if we are going to contend in this kind of warfare, we also need to understand and to take advantage of the legal framework that is available in the scriptures. And just in case we can't find the scripture that provides an accurate provision for us, we go in search of another decree that will establish our operations. Because if it's not rooted in the counsel of God, we are fighting without backing from Zion. Hallelujah. Meanwhile, I'm not trying to be intelligent or trying to speak English. Amen. I just hope God is interpreting what I'm saying to you. Now, so we have done that yesterday. We also saw that there are entities in the realm of the spirit. Entities that we are supposed to be in alignment with. But unfortunately, our capacity to find alignment with these entities, it will be determined by our understanding of the level of courtesies that are required in order to interface with such entities. Amen. You remember what happened to Zechariah when Gabriel visited the temple in the day that was allotted unto him to carry out his priesthood. Hallelujah. An angel came to deliver him glad tidings from God. And somehow, after Gabriel had uttered the counsel of God that he came with from heaven, this priest on earth now said, "Wherewith shall I know this?" What he was saying was, "What is the sign that you will give that your words are valid?" Then Gabriel became angry. Gabriel now did a formal introduction. He said, I am Gabriel. I am Gabriel that stands in the presence of God. I bring you glad tidings, and you are in doubt of my credibility. You shall be done. Now, this man did not meet with Satan. He met with an angel. It was a holy experience. But the result of the holy experience was dumbness. Just because he did not understand that the realm. Hallelujah. The realm is what? No, the realm is a realm of dignities. And that's what we saw in the book of Colossians chapter 1 verse 16 that we read yesterday. He created the visible and the invisible. Whether there be thrones or dominions or powers or what? Principalities. Now, we need to be taught how to interface with dominions. Because if God permits me, I will give you some experiences I've had in the spirit. When I was told, there is this angel that carries a scroll. It's been long since I saw him. He has a slender face, very slender face, more slender than human. More slender face. And he comes with an apparel that is like the kind of apparel they wear in the Senate of Rome. Those ones who watch in the film. So that's how he normally comes. And he comes with a scroll. And when he comes, he will just stay far away and he'll begin to read. Hallelujah. And I said that when I observed that angel straight, like this, with a straight face, I would not understand what he's reading. But if I bend my neck, I'll begin to understand. Now that angel read what will happen in the first 13 years of my life. At that time that I had this encounter, I was 8. That is, so I met the read. I've been reading for long. So I became tired and handy like this. And now, so what I caught when I began to understand was that I was supposed to live for 13 years. Meanwhile, I was 8. No. Meanwhile, I was 13. And he was saying I was supposed to live for 13 years. Now, so when I became confused, I now raised my head like this. Straight. And then we understand. He said a warfare was going on concerning my continual existence on earth. Meanwhile, you know what was really happening? What was really happening at that time was that I had died. You know, my mom is a nurse, so she can tell you better. So I was convulsing. And I heard that they put a spoon in my mouth so that I would not bite on my tongue. So I was not here. So he said, young man, you know, you were supposed to live for 13 years. And somehow, the orders changed that we should fight for your survival. So the battle is going on now. I'm just reading a scroll of what you are going back to do. Then the first thing he now read after that was, you have been assigned to be a preacher. And you know I was born in Samaria. Now, are you still with me? Please follow me, follow me. It is not my will. What I'm doing is not to show you that I'm such a spiritual person. I used to see things. You are missing it. He said, you have been assigned to be a preacher. So I now touched him. How will you say that a stammerer will preach? He stopped reading, folded the scroll, and he struck me. Hallelujah. When he struck me with it, the next place I saw was that I was in my room and my mother was battling with treatment. So I now came to my consciousness. Now, the guy, when he struck me with that thing, he now shouted. The shout was so loud. It was when I came into the natural and now discovered that that shout is what we call thunder. So I stopped my commentary there. Because that's how much is required in this lecture. Some dignities, you cannot appease them easily. Except you understand the code, how to relate. Meanwhile, we don't have so much power if we don't have backup. So I'm just trying to say, what I'm teaching is based on the experience I've had, actually. It's a realm of what? Dignities. And it is a realm that requires high levels of courtesies for navigation. That's the second point we saw yesterday. Another example is the example of Joshua. He's going to take on Jericho. And I said before that the walls of Jericho actually are a cuboid and not a cuboid. Just like a cube of sugar. And if a cube of sugar turns over, it will still be the same height that it was when it was standing. So just in case the wall of Jericho fell, the way you think, it will still be as it was. Meanwhile, a cube of sugar that has as much length as it has breadth cannot fall. I hope you know that. So it was impregnable. So that's why the soldier, the warrior, went out to meditate. How can we enter this one now? While he was meditating, he now met another personality. And he was too quick to speak. He said, are you for us? Are you against us? And he spoke like a warrior. That's how a normal warrior would speak. But you see, he was interacting with a dignity. The dignity said, I'm not for you. I'm not against you. But as a captain of the Lord's host, am I come? I understand my marching orders. I don't know where you fit in this business. If I find you in alignment with my orders, you may not be a threat to what I came to do. So you may not feel the hot edge of my sword. But just in case, you are in the way. So that's what he meant when he said, nay, I am not for you. And what? I'm not against you. That was the day Joshua was realizing that the armies of Israel were not just physical beings. They had angelic hordes that were part of the army, and that he was to learn the secret of alignment. Now, the punishment he received from God because of his lack of conduct, lack of etiquette, lack of conduct, was to trek round Jericho 7 times. And on the 7th day, trek 7 times. And when you are going round, don't talk. It was in that procession that he began to hear the whispers of eternity. That was where alignment was achieved. When alignment was achieved, what he was required to do thereafter was to shout. And when he gave that shout, the invincible army stood upon the wall and pressed it in. The wall sank. It did not fall. And archaeologists have found out that it sank. Now, so if you are going to come into partnership with the immortals, meanwhile, I've heard people say that I will command my angels. You know, how many of you do that? You send your angels on errand. No, don't be ashamed. Let's do it again. How many of you do that? You send them on errand. You have violated protocol. That particular mode of operation is not biblical. There's no scripture in the entire Bible that you can present that some people sent angels on errand, because you don't have the jurisdiction to send any angel. Jesus himself was on the cross, and the Bible says, I will pray my Father, and he will send what? How many legions? 12 legions of angels. Jesus did not say, Muriel, come, go. He said, I will pray what? It is only the Father that gives instructions to angels, just in case you don't know. And I don't have time to talk about angels today. The angelic angels, the operations, the activities, the types, their functions. I don't have time. But I have time to tell you that only the Father can give instructions to. Let me stop there. Jesus said, I will pray the Father. And he will send what? 12 legions. So that thing you did is trespass. And if you continue to trespass, it begins to cut you, your lifespan, reduce your lifespan. So some of you need to repent today for following that fake faith teaching. And you come back to the Bible. May you come back to the Bible in the name of Jesus. Some people are angry with you. So the faith block here now, they are... Don't worry, we'll do damage to your faith. Because I also came from a faith Bible school. Okay. We'll do damage to it and help you follow Jesus. We'll help you follow Jesus. Some of the garbage you are carrying is not from the Bible. I assure you, you will not believe until we start the anatomy. You will now wonder. Okay. I did more faith things than you. That's what I mean. We were the real ones. You just came in the shadows and you are running with duplicates. We did the faith things. And in the process, we collided with some demons that we did not have answers to. So we came back to the Bible and found out we're not operating based on provisions. Now, when we now sought the Lord and he opened our eyes to scriptures, we now went back to the same places where we were defeated. And we, in fact, the demons were no longer there. They were aware of the fact that we have upgraded, so that we had a safe passage. Hallelujah. So we are going to do the faith thing. When you are ready, we'll do the faith thing. We'll do the grace thing. We'll do the holiness thing. We'll do the deliverance thing. And then you now discover that it's error for you to isolate a particular practice or teaching in the Bible and make it the subject of your existence. You operate. You don't give due cognizance to other teachings. And the Bible is not that fragmented. God is not that fragmented. Hallelujah. Are you still with me? Now, so can we do number 3 quickly? I have a few moments. A few moments. Before we go back to Matthew chapter 18, I just want us to finish the basics. Then we come into the dynamics. Then you see how it works. And that is called the transaction. Some of you need to leave here today and go and transact. Go and transact. You need to leave here and go for some transaction. Hallelujah. All right. Let's do number 3. Forget about my Matthew. I'm coming there. Matthew chapter 18. Amen. You're welcome, sir. All right. Let's do 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4 to 9. So number 3 says it's a realm. It's a realm of secrets and a realm of mysteries. The invincible realm, the immortal realm, is a realm that is operated by secrets and operated by mysteries. In fact, hallelujah. In fact, the level of secrets and mysteries you have access to is what determines the kind of power you can wield in the immortal realm. Anytime you find a charm, an amulet, a mantra that is effective, it can invoke some presence, it can carry out several mysterious activities. It was actually forged with a myriad of secrets and mysteries. And when you discover the secrets by which he operates, you actually have the ability to detonate it, to destroy it. That's how the spirit realm operates. If God wants to glorify you, one of the things he does is that he hides your possibilities. He hides your future. And then he releases it in piecemeals. So your own passcode becomes obedience. The more obedient you are, the more you qualify for more of the secrets. So the kingdom of God operates by mysteries. It operates by secret. That's how we navigate. That's how we prosper. Hallelujah. Now, I said you should open to what? 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Please, run your Bible quickly. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Hey, no. 1 Corinthians, not 2 Corinthians. First Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 4, Paul says, "And my speech and my preaching was not with the enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit we speak the wisdom of God among them that are perfect. Yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that cometh to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Even the hidden wisdom which God has ordained before the world unto what? Our glory." Now, can you underline verse 7 in your Bible if it's not borrowed? He said God had ordained several things to our advantage from the foundation of the world. But those things are hidden in form of secrets and mysteries. So that means God is not hiding it from you. He's hiding it for you. Please help me preach to your neighbor. God is not hiding it from you. He's hiding it for you. It's something that the princes of this world do not know. They don't have access to it. Because it's a realm that operates with so much secrecy. The reason why the witches hold meetings in covens, in places in the night, at obscure moments and in outlawed places, is because they want to keep what they are machinating secret. Hallelujah. And so if God wants to make you a deliverer, he opens your eyes to see secret things. It means you have an advantage from the realm of the spirit. You have access to a domiciliary base in the spirit because you have access to a secret. Your destiny is a secret. And as you walk with God and walk in obedience to God, God begins to unveil it. And then you begin to walk in it. The devil cannot decode the program that you are running. He doesn't understand the software that is responsible for the kind of output that is coming from your life. So Satan is a good researcher. He's not researching from your life source because he doesn't have access to your life cavity. He is researching from patterns from that you. That's why the the Holy Spirit cannot be, you cannot exhaust his options, his variables, his patterns. You cannot decode it by your mental strength. It's going to be your greatest advantage is your ability to yield, not ability to decipher, because we don't live based on God's explanations but based on God's instructions. Hallelujah. Now, so it's a realm of secrets and it's a realm of what? Of mysteries. That's why Jesus said, unto you it is given to understand the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. If a principality wants to speak, for instance, the principality will have to concoct a mystery before he speaks. Now, I hope you know, some of you, maybe you have heard God before. God spoke to you in 1984. And then in 1994, that's when you started understanding what God spoke to you in 1984. And what he spoke to you in 1984 seemed clear to you. Seemed to have good understanding. It was a mystery that was spoken. He just opened a layer of it. He regulates how much of it enters into your understanding. Because the Bible says there is a spirit that is in man. It is the inspiration of the Almighty that giveth understanding. Not your meditation. Not your mental exertion. It is what the... So the inspiration, you receive the revelation, but the inspiration from the Almighty came 10 years later. So even though you had seen the dream did not mean anything to you until the day the inspiration to activate it now came. Can you see how small we are? With all this physics and engineering that you learned, God spoke in 1984, you are understanding it in 1994. And Pythagoras' theorem has not given you a way of deciphering it. Hallelujah. So it runs on secrets. Now, what we need to ask ourselves is, how many of the secrets that besiege our territory do we have access to? Because this is the time that we need to operate in the capacity of kings. The Bible says, it's the glory of God to conceal a thing. It's the honor of kings to search it out. We need men that can search secrets out. The devil cannot have authority on ground if he doesn't have backup from the spirit. Fulani people cannot have the kind of penetration that they had in how many weeks if what is supporting them is not immortal. The time has come where the average believer must be taught to be a priest and to be a king, to know how to enter into spiritual material, how to interface with the resources available, and how to use that knowledge and that privilege and that stature to influence things in the natural realm. Each one of us must be trained to be a priest, must be trained to be a warrior, such that we can engage spiritual activity accurately. I think we need to go back to Facebook and to make our own position known. Our voice must be heard somehow. We must find a way of letting our voice out. I believe there are physical cities we may need to go and carry out some transactions. I have discovered that some people, liberty will come with their passing. Some people, deliverance comes when some people pass away. Yeah, die. That's what I mean. I'm just trying to be modest. People need to die for us to have ventilation. That's what I mean. We need secrets to run with. It's a realm of secrets. It's a realm of mysteries. And so Paul says, we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. That we concoct a mystery before we speak. Communicate the wisdom of God, because the wisdom of God is directed at a particular audience. It's directed at them that are perfect, them that are mature in the spirit. So we concoct principality language so that only those mature ones can hear. The toddlers among us are excluded, because the wisdom of God is for them that are what? Are perfect. Them that are mature. So you might like the sermon I'm preaching today, but it may not have meaning to you maybe until 12 years from today, when you have decided to leave childish things and to come into alignment with heavier, weightier matters of the kingdom.
Jesus.
Then God will now give you the inspiration of this utterance. And then you say, oh! But it was 10 years down the road, you heard it. It's beginning to make sense to you 10 years after. May we not wait for 10 years before that mature man inside of you that God is hoping that will break out in this time of crisis arise. In the name of Jesus Christ. Number what? Number four. The mortal realm is a realm of records. That's why before judgment can be conducted in heaven, books will have to be consulted. If you see the level of the database in the spirit, I have seen a few. I have seen a little. Actually, what prophecy is territorial prophecy. What prophecy really is that you are reading from the database. You're accessing the database and you are reading it out. Things that were scripted before time began. Wisdoms captured, strategies captured. It's a realm of records. And if you are going to do accurate legislative business in the spirit, you must be quoting from references, from records. You must have access to the books of nations, the books of cities. You must have access to the book of life. Records. If darkness passes through your corridor, it leaves footprints behind. You can actually trace the footprints and find out where it came from, whether it came through the door or through the window. What I mean by through the door is this somebody from the family that originated it, or was somebody married into the family? Door or what? A window. It leaves footprints behind. You can trace it. Wise men look for the records, look for the origin, look for the source. Because every true advance against a reality that is contrary must begin from the beginning. We need records. That's the reason why we will always need elders. We always need ancients. Because the ancients have a duty to bring and to present records. They are the ones that are supposed to carry the parchments of records of how battles were won, of how giants were slain, of the places and the territories where ambushes were set against the enemy, and God took the head of the mighty. They keep records so that they can educate and instruct, and then will be operating from, just like in science, you know, it's a modicum of scientific discoveries that forms the foundation of current discoveries. That's why if you are writing a project, you need to make reference. Say, this person in 1800 said this. This person discovered this. On the strength of this, that, and that, I am seeing, I found out that this, based on the principle of that, and this one, based on the principle of this, will arrive at here. And in within the context of my case study, which is Benue State, this I've seen, and the application is that. Now you must be making reference to something that is in the genealogy, something that is in the lineage, something that is in the records, because spiritual technology is a build-up. We have seen the legacy of Kenneth Hagin, and he has opened us up to, you know, the strength of having faith in an immortal God. Even though most of what people preach today in the name of the revelations that they contacted from the ministry of Kenneth Hagin is in excess, in defiance, in isolation of a lot of scriptures that are supposed to bring support to the entire body of truth of the Bible. And we hope to be able to cut off those aspects of that man's legacy that human beings now want, now built in it. Those are the ones that fire will burn in the eternities of God. Hallelujah. Now, so we have a long line of spiritual heritage upon which this current dispensation is established. And we need to draw from every insight. That man, what's his name? The Briton. Derek Prince. I'm wondering where Mountain of Fire got this thing they are doing. It's a waste of time and a waste of missionary manpower. Because Derek Prince was one man that God raised, and he taught You know, he was so knowledgeable, and his teaching ministry was focused on the deliverance ministry of Jesus, and he did a good piece with his life. That is one of the greatest teachers of all time. I've gone through his works. There seems to be no error, no humanity, just like Watchman Nee's works. Now, so if we have that perfect heritage, where did they come? Where did Mount of Fire come with this? That's food for thought. Hallelujah. That digression was necessary. Wake some people up. Amen. That's what you do. Now, they have already discovered what they call it, solar energy. Then somebody now in BSU physics lab is now trying to design a solar panel. Technology and discoveries have gone beyond. Just go and look for a panel and continue from, add something to, we already know that. So when Derek Prince finished that perfect work, then somebody now comes and say, one day in the body of Christ, we need to gather palm oil, kola nut, and human hair from India to concoct something. Well, that's how far away we are from alignment. But God will help us in the name of Jesus. It's a realm of secrets. And God is not under obligation to pass all the secrets through you. He will pass it through his body across the generations. He decides what, and he regulates the level of secrets that are available, that are accessible per time. Because he doesn't just want to win wars. He wants to win them in a certain way that will give glory to him. It's about him. Hallelujah. Now, so we will not stray away from the ancestry, the rich heritage that we have, trying to change the goalposts in the midst of the game in the name of ministry. In fact, all those kind of activities, Baba will have to visit very soon, and he will level it so that he can deliver his people from charismatic zoos and put us in active priesthood to deliver our territory in Jesus' mighty name. Finally, it is a realm of spirit and a realm of life. Many times when you say Jesus encountered you, people come and ask the question, what was he wearing? That's how carnal we are, because we don't understand the realm of spirit and life. What you take from the revelation is not the form in which he appeared. Most of the time, it's not the form in which he appeared. I know that he can appear in a particular form and allow you to see his form. And just in case he allows you to see it, it's because that his form is speaking. So if you get trapped with the form and you don't understand the message behind that kind of appearance, you are in limbo. You have no reference. And your project word cannot stand on the fire, on the rack, because you are not pointing to anything and you are not launching from anywhere. You are just in limbo. Just like some people that came, they say some people died, went to hell, brought... and the very premise of that revelation is not valid in scripture. They went to the second heavens, came up with a lot of mantra, a lot of gibberish, and caused problem in the body of Christ for a long time. But we thank God that era and the books are no longer selling. We had to curse those books. And the people that were circulating them in Abuja cursed me for 3 months because I cursed the book, that these books will not sell again. It was business they were doing, not preaching. That's what happens when you want to change the goalposts in the midst of the game. We already have a heritage of light. Let us remain there in the name of Jesus. Now, so it's a realm of spirit. It's a realm of life. That's why God doesn't use words the way we do. Jesus said, the words that I speak unto you, they are what? Spirit. They are what? Life. They are spirit. That's why they have the capacity to furnish the things that they say. They have life in themselves, capacity in themselves, ability in themselves to bring forth, to become, and to do. So he can send his word. And his word will now heal them. And his word will now what? Deliver them from all their destruction. Because the way immortals use words is different from the way mortals use it. If God looks upon you and say, your head be good. The implication of that utterance is that your head will become big instantly. Because the Bible says God is not a man that he should He operates on an energy level that makes it impossible for him to speak a word that will just fall to the ground, or to speak a word that doesn't have a meaning, or to speak a word that will never have a performance. So when he says, you get big head, the head now what? Becomes big. Now, because of the kind of power he exercises, he can't use words the way we do. I don't want to press further. 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 But you can release life from here through the Spirit, and it will lighten in Asurok. The limitation of space and time is not one of the limitations that spirits have. That's the advantage that we have when we move into the prophetic. We become a church that is without walls. We can legislate and perform spiritual practices that will have far-reaching territorial effects. It's a realm of spirit, and it's a realm of life. So these are the basics. Okay? This is the premise upon which we are going further. Alright. Now, so I said open to Matthew chapter 18. Because priesthood must know how to take advantage of immortal potential. And I will tell you which one of these five laws I'm touching when we open any of the five protocols of engaging immortal power. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah. Amen. I don't know whose name you bear. Is it your father's name or your grandfather's name? So whose name? Whose name is Itodo? Is your own? Okay, your grandfather's. So you are the second Itodo. The new and the greater Itodo. Whose name do you bear? Odoma. A great grandfather. Was he the first in your line? How come? Where did Odoma come from? Why must he be Odoma? When your grandfather was a great man in himself, and your father. Well, let's push on. Transactions. There are several transactions that are tied to some of those names. That's why that name now had so much stature. And it's as if the name cannot be erased because transactions are tied to it. We'll look at that. But a lot of people think it's spooky to say the things I will say this evening. I took time to study the Bible to bring witness for it, so that we can go beyond science and go into scripture. In the name of Jesus Christ. In Matthew chapter 18, verse 18, Jesus is the one speaking. In the next 15 minutes, I will be done. And we'll begin to pray. Matthew 18, verse 18. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. All of these activities fall in the category of what we call spiritual ceremonies. Alright? A spiritual ceremony is an activity that makes things go on record in the spirit realm. Are you with me? So these five things I want to bring to our notice are spiritual ceremonies. And they are activities that makes things go on record in the realm of the spirit. We must know how to conduct spiritual ceremonies. Before the Fulani people left to come invade our land, there was a spiritual ceremony conducted. These Fulani people are the armies of Satan, sent to enforce the realities that were secured in the spiritual ceremony. Just like you spoke about Moses and about Joshua, this is their own Moses, Joshua, perverted arrangement that is manifesting and plaguing our territory. Now, so, what is a spiritual ceremony? It makes things what? Go on record. The activities that makes things go on record where? Now, every priest must know how to conduct a spiritual ceremony. There's a lot of requirements that there are requirements for each spiritual ceremony to be valid. There are requirements, there are premises, and everything that Jesus says in this sequence of scriptures is so critical that you take it the way he said it and implement it that way without editing it or adjusting it, because it's only within that context and by that prescription that that ceremony can be valid. Hallelujah. Somebody, a man of God, came somewhere and they lodged him in a room and he slept. He now left. Bless the family. They now brought somebody. I know you won't believe it anyway, but they brought somebody else that was sick. And the person's sickness was not bodily, it was with a bone. Bone sickness. And then they put the person on the bed. I know you will not believe. You will not believe. The unbelief here is high. It's high. But I know the name of the preacher. It's not me. I would have loved it to be me anyway. The guy slept. That person that was sick was placed upon that bed. And a part of his bone was removed. Changed. And the one that they removed, the one that was bad, they left it on the bed. And the guy woke up and he saw his bone. And he has that bone till today. The angels that came walked on the leg, removed that place in the bone, kept it on the bed, and fixed the new one. Now, we need to understand what happened when that man slept there. Now, a carnal man will say, he slept there, he slept. But he had access to a lot of baggage in the realm of the spirit. And the things he was doing, the conjuring he was doing, a spiritual ceremony took place on the strength of his habitation in that house. Several things went on record. And those things were speaking. The life and the spirit of those things spoke such that when somebody was brought in. Now, if we were able to quantify the scope of reality that was generated by that spiritual activity, would have weighed that provision with a very weighty matter. Is that not so? Would have brought something other than leg problem to sometimes God will come and stir the waters and say, any sickness whatsoever. Anyone that enters first. And then the person that enters is headache. Now, you see, we did not quantify what was happening. Now, as the waters are stirred this night, bring the most terrible. We will raise the burden of this land again afresh. Kamone kemosi Antolia Makanda. So Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you. So Jesus had to use the signature of his own stature and authority to make the people realize the gravity of the statement. That's why he did the verily, verily. Because at that point, he had no physical thing to show them that this is the proof of what I'm saying. I am, my integrity is the proof that this principle I'm unveiling to you is valid. So, verily, verily, I say unto you. He said, if whatsoever ye shall bind on earth. Now, if you have a lexicon, let's go and read it from the Greek quickly. Because it's very easy for you to interpret this bind as binding demons, because that's where your mind has gone. Binding. Meanwhile, there are scriptures that give us the legitimacy of what? Of binding demons. This one is not one of them. That's what I'm saying. That Jesus is trying to discuss with us and to teach us a particular spiritual activity called a transaction. So he said, verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall what? Bind. So let's go back and find bind. Based on my lexicon, number two definition of bind means to bind, to put under obligation of the law or duty, to put under obligation of the law or duty. Now this is a lawyer, Ogbe. Every land I buy, this is the lawyer I take with me. So we went to Abuja, there was a land like that, we bought a land somewhere, and so he now brought agreement for the guys to sign. So after signing the agreement, I thought that was all, because that was what we used to do before. He says it's not all. He asked for their passport. There was a place in the agreement, and the agreement he grafted, only an angel can draft better than that. It is airtight. If it goes to court in Sharia, it will win. Sharia court. So there was a place in the agreement that a picture, the photograph of the guys that sold the land. Then we finish all of that. Talk about it. He said, no, we are going to court. I said, what is this? He said, we need either a commissioner of oath or a notary public to append his signature and stamp it. The reason for the rigor is so that the agreement will be binding. That's what we are talking about. Even the owner of the land that sold it must have, by reason of this process we followed, he himself is subject to this agreement. That's what Jesus was trying to explain. That whatsoever ye, let me put it better, whatever contract you seal up on earth, in the hem of the spirit a file will be open. And the same way you seal it, if you seal it with litigation gaps, that is how it will appear in heaven. And the devil can take that legislation to court, and because of the litigation gaps, he will weasel his way out, and he will defend and defeat you in court. So he said, whatsoever, in the way you draft it, and you bind it, that's how it will be bound in heaven. He didn't stop there. He said, whatsoever you shall lose. The word lose in Greek is dissolving of contracts. It will now be dissolved in heaven. So you are either making binding contracts that are valid from the perspective of heaven, or you are dissolving contracts that are existing in the spirit based on your understanding of the protocol of the kingdom of light. And having discovered that that provision is contrary to the royal decree of God, the policy direction of the Spirit of God, and the covenant of God with us by the blood of Jesus Christ, you can dissolve that contract and it becomes null and void in heaven. You get that? So this particular provision is what we call transaction. This is a spiritual ceremony that is called what? Transaction. Now, a lot of you, I'm trusting God that we'll do some practicals. The purpose of the practical is beyond the practical. I'm just trying to show you that these things can be verified, okay? Amen. Some of you here are victims of contracts. And the Bible is saying that we have authority in Christ Jesus to dissolve contracts such that they are dissolved in heaven. And such, maybe a wizard was not aware that it was dissolved, and he goes and sets his coordinates to engage the reality of that contract. When he shoots the thing will have no foundation. He will just become aware of the fact that he no longer has a position on the strength of that contract that was established before, because somebody that is knowledgeable has interacted with the immortal realm and he has dissolved that contract. These are the sayings of Jesus. So why is Jesus telling us this? Because it's possible for you to give your life to Christ. That's a contract. It was an agreement. You said something. You accepted something. You believed something. You held a conviction, a position. And you did that on earth. Because you cannot do it anywhere else except what? Earth. And then, the spiritual reality of what you did appeared in heaven. And the witness, heaven released a witness in your heart to know that that which you did transcended the earth realm. And that's the activity and the ministry of the Holy Spirit furnishing the efficacy of that transaction. It is furnished in your heart. So you know that this profession of yours has backing, witness, reality in the realm of the spirit. That was a transaction. Now, that transaction does not naturally and totally and automatically undo other transactions that existed in the spirit before you took this transaction. But because of the superior nature of this transaction, you are now saddled with the responsibility to either bind, create binding contracts, and what? Dissolving contracts. It means we have the ability and the potential in God to undo things that want to undo us. But the fact that you gave your life to Christ doesn't automatically take care of. No, you see, if you do that, it means you are saying that there are some laws that you are saying are no longer potent, because maybe there are 1984 laws and you just finished from BSU. So those laws are no longer effective. No, we have to repeal the laws. There's a process. There is a transaction that must take place in order to make those laws null and void. Maybe for you or for the entire people that the laws were actually made for. That is priesthood. It's a call to priesthood. The faith preacher won't want to believe what I'm saying, because it's easier. It's easier to tell people that they are relieved of responsibility. But that was the greatest act of deception that ever took place in the body of Christ. Hallelujah. It is no wisdom to think otherwise. May the Lord give you understanding in Jesus' name. You don't like me. There are some faith preachers in the house that are fighting. For your sake, I will stop. For the sake of the faith preachers. At a point, you realize that you cannot pray every matter in tongues and find answers. At a point, you realize as gracious as God is, He will not respond to every prayer you pray. Because some prayers are legal issues. You need to go to a legal protocol in order to secure an answer in that particular context. Then you begin to wonder, did the Bible not say ask anything? Ask what? Seek? Find? But that's not the case, because you are touching legal premises. There are some things that are still binding, and God is saying you can dissolve them. Hallelujah. Only God knows what happened in 1976 when this state was formed. Because I cannot see a way of dissociating our current dilemma from binding contracts. If those people have no contract supporting them, then their adventure is into oblivion. So the place of Moses on the mountain cannot be overemphasized. We need to make them naked, the Fulani people. We need to make them naked this night. Meanwhile, when we begin to tow this part, then the mortal realm begins to unveil secrets. It begins to give strategies. It begins to give... Are you ready for this, John?
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. Meanwhile, I used to be sick. Two weeks. I was very sickly when I was small. I've heard in the hospital before, not nurses have discussed me before. They said this one won't make it. I've heard those kind of things. The doctors could not find the way out. These were transactions. There were things that were held up. God has mercy. You know, the Bible says, if it's not that the Lord was on our side. Because by the time David saw how sophisticated the enemies really were, and the platform, the legality that gave them the audacity that they manifested, he said, wait, this matter, actually, it was the Lord that was on our side. That means legislation was against him, circumstances, situations were against him, but somehow God was just standing with him. And those people were not bold enough. Not that David was in any way undercover, but it was the Lord that was where? On our side. God will never leave this land, because even before this crisis began, He has spoken a word of prophecy. There's a word he spoke over our lives. That's why our demise will not be by the hand of a messenger of Satan. There is another story that will be told about our people. And on the strength of the integrity of the Most High God, this cannot be the end of the matter. When we bring the records, you will now find out that this is not our destination. Prophecy isolated us from doom and from destruction. Hallelujah. Now, because of that faith man, I've said, I will stop lecture. The man is trouble. This thing, I learned it for long. And then I come. In fact, somebody accused me, say, every time I come to the tent, everything I know, they will scatter. Is it everything that is wrong? He's gone showing you mercy. You were on the highway to limbo, and he intercepted you on the way to afford you mercy. I've seen tongue-in ignorant men die. I'm seeing even powerful ones, big ones with huge chest, die. The Bible says, so then, that is when all is said and done, it is not of him that will it. It's not big. It's of God. It's of God. It's of God that showeth mercy. There are some transactions that are hanging over some people's lives. God will dissolve them today. Now that is stage one. We'll do personal dissolution of transactions. Then we'll now proceed to another level. There's territorial dissolution. We have national dissolution. That's why we need prophets in different categories with different levels of stature, so that you can stand and your jurisdiction, your constituency, is based on your current level of stature. People that can speak, and the seats of government we have to hear, because they have been given that grace from the Lord, such that their words, like the words of God, cannot go forth and come back. There's a level of stature like that. At least we have proof from scripture that Samuel operated on that particular cadre. It didn't mean that Samuel said everything he heard from God. It meant actually that Samuel had authority with God to speak, and his words will become law. The Bible says that as long as he was alive, during his lifetime, the border countries were obedient. The anointing of Samson was what regulated the country. Just like David had to curse Mount Gilboa when Saul fell, he said, I curse you. He said, is it not this man's oil that has regulated this territory? Why did you not pluck yourself from your idle position to fight for his life? So he cursed. He cursed the mountains. Because the anointing is what regulates. Can we pray? 5 minutes of prayer. Now, these 5 minutes of prayer, I pray you will not be absent-minded. Oh, 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 oh. Oh, 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 oh,
Jesus' name.
Now listen to me. There's somebody in this arena. From what I see, it is as if you were poisoned. Because I see the poison in your belly. Now God wants to do something surgical. He won't do that poison. I see it is like a greenish substance, and it moves in your body, moves from place to place. So I'll pray a prayer, ask God to put his hand upon you so that I will know you. Then we have to do something to you to help break that yoke that you are carrying. Then from there we'll go higher. Father, in the name of Jesus, we give you thanks, we give you praise. I ask, oh God, that from the inside to the outside, you will help me. You will help me. You will help me isolate, locate this one that has carried this scourge of spiritual poisoning. It is the reason for stagnation. It is the reason for evil omens around the life. And we ask, oh God, today that it will please you to break the shackle. It will please you to open the door. You see, I'm seeing terrible things. Some of us here, the place where they went to legislate is a dark place. Ooh. Now help me, just help me. Oh, 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 oh. Oh, 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 oh. Can we pray for him? You know, we are doing practical. Oh, Jesus. Let's pray for him. It is forbidden for a son of Abraham to be afflicted thus. And so we want to undo this illegality. He is not included in that transaction. You want to present the blood of Jesus as the payment papers, the receipts for his redemption, and demand his liberty. Can we raise our voices as we talk to God about him? Yes. Aha. Otama no kamine selo.
Shekinah glory, Shekinah glory. Ha. Ha. In Jesus' name, I'm seeing afflictions on people. That's a result of transactions. I mean, strange kind of afflictions that they are not even normal. There are some afflictions that are normal, some are abnormal. Now, those afflictions will be handled in this moment before I hand over. Afflictions that are transaction based. Because I see that some of, oh my God. Lord, have mercy. Have mercy. Have mercy. Have mercy. Have mercy. Have mercy. Okay. He has accepted to have mercy. Now, just in case you experience strange kind of affliction. Strange kind of affliction. This is your time. Can you talk to God? Talk to God briefly. Strange affliction. Strange affliction. Strange affliction. Strange affliction. I'm seeing someone that's been afflicted financially. Your own affliction is financial. Because the level of lack that you have walked in cannot be normal lack. You can talk to God about it right now.
Shekinah glory. You are holy.
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 Shekinah glory. Shekinah glory.
In Jesus' name. Okay, God is set. Please please, in the next few minutes. Titus, please help me interpret outside, because I'm seeing an activity that should take place outside. Help me interpret and say, all ladies, can you touch your umbilical cord for me? Just make contact with me. There are about 5 chronic cases that God will attend to now. About 5 chronic cases. Because the transaction is tied to your umbilical cord. And the power of the Most High God will address that matter. It will pass through that cord. Now, ushers, as you find the people, help me with the people. Because there are heavy things on them. Heavy things. Father, in the name of Jesus. Now, listen. Stop praying. Don't pray again. I know an activity will happen outside, some activities. Titus, please tell them what I'm saying, okay? Keep touching that umbilical cord. Father, in the name of Jesus, tonight, what we ask for is a surgery. It's a surgery. So from my left hand side to my right hand side, from the back to the front, Holy Spirit, these 5 people you showed me that have this matter that is linked with their umbilical cord, help me locate them. Okay, he's coming now. Help me locate them. There are 5 of them. Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost, move. Ushers, help me. There's treatment going on. It's coming stronger. There's treatment going on. Ushers, help me quickly. There's treatment going on. Inside, outside. Ushers, help me. There's treatment. There's treatment. It's the Lord's clinic. Antona na bokose na ida bahana. Eko mala komba sane monke na ike. Ana marakama. Arana mana rakama rakama. Ha rakama. Jesus. Rakama liga marakama. Rakama. Oh, rakama lila bola rakama. Rakama. Now I'm seeing something. Oh, rakama ike. What I'm seeing is somebody's affliction began because they shot the person with a ding gun in a dream. Rakamaye. Try to help me interpret very well. Somebody you saw that you were shot by a gun or shot with a gun in your dream. Where are you? It's a heavy matter. Yanoma, Yanamono. Rakamaye, oh Rakama, Rakamaye, Saline, Rakama, Rakama, Holine, Kane, Rakama, Rakama, Rakama. Hear me. I'm seeing somebody. Onime. Hey. Onime. This person that I'm talking about, you're afraid of sleeping. Because anytime you shut your eyes to sleep, you become a captive, a fugitive. So if you had your way, you will not sleep. And these are chronic matters. Titus, help me interpret that out there. I need to see you, that person that is afraid of sleep. You. There's still another one.
So,
now this lady is carrying baggage. You have a sleep problem. You don't want to sleep because you become a captive, a fugitive, a prisoner. Now, you know what I'm seeing? I'm seeing crutches. There's somebody among us that the devil wants to give crutches so that you use this type of diet. And as we speak now, you have arthritis pains on your joints. In fact, it becomes terrible. Titus, I hope you are. Now, why is she coming? This person I'm talking about has arthritis pains on the limbs, and sometimes it's excruciating. Jesus wants to give you healing now. Mommy, is it you?
Onamo. Onamo. Onahamo. Onahamare kamine. Onamo. Salemagana temona. Onamo. Zaya kome la boma. Oh, 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 oh,
on this one. Because God has handled it. It's a situation. Someone was programmed to have an accident before coming here. Alright, but what happened to you was car failure instead of the car started, right? But I am seeing that the deliverance has already been wrought, so whether we say it or not, the glory is the Lord's, okay? Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. Now, listen, there's one of us here that a shadow follows you, a shadow man, and you feel the presence of that thing around you, a shadow man. I see a shadow man. You feel the presence of that shadow man. This one, I know the person won't want to agree. So we apply another method. Meanwhile, if you are here and you feel a presence that is negative following you around, let me see your hand.
Raise it up very well. These shadow men.
Oh, Nama Kumba.
I don't know how we are going to proceed. Okay, maybe you just proceed. We'll continue one session tomorrow. We'll continue this. But let Oga come.